So neat. It's good to see everybody today. Thanks for coming to worship our Savior today. There was a fellow named James Kennedy who pastored the Coral Gables Church in Florida for almost 50 years. And I'm using a parable in this sermon today that Pastor James Kennedy put together. It's a beautiful parable, and I want to give credit where credit is due. The title of this sermon is Mary Tifton. Mary Tifton. And the scripture is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You wake up the day after Christmas Day. Christmas is over. The twinkling star has disappeared from the sky. And the beautiful Christmas music that you listen to on the radio, it suddenly stopped. It's over. Now, the day before, on Christmas Day, like many folks, you ripped off wrappings and bows, and you examined new pajamas or neckties or perfume and maybe gift cards as part of the packages that you received. And then when it's all over, you look down, and that's kind of what you see in the living room. It's pretty typical. It's a mess. All the debris is scattered beneath the Christmas tree. It's all kind of a mess. And when you pause for just a moment, perhaps you say, is this all there is to Christmas? Is this all? I want to try to address that question this morning with this modern day parable. You know, a parable is a story that's used to try to help address and help us understand a great spiritual truth. As you know, Jesus used many parables when he was speaking and trying to get things across to the folks so they could relate to them and they would easily understand them. If you remember in the Bible, you read the words of Jesus, and we read about the parable of the sheep and the goats, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the son who left his father and went to a faraway country. Their society back in the time when Jesus was on the earth, it was predominantly agricultural. So the people hearing these parables, they could easily understand the meaning when they heard about fig trees and the sower and the mustard seed. And they heard about the lost sheep and the master and the servant and the good Samaritan. With all of those images, Jesus was able to touch the minds and the hearts of the folks that were listening to them. And it gave them insight. It gave them understanding. And it actually moved their hearts in a way that Christ wanted their hearts moved so they could gain wonderful principles and truths for their individual lives. Today, the parable I'm going to use, it borrows from an old TV show. And some of you may be too young in here to remember this old TV show. But it started in 1955. 1955 was on CBS. It ran from 1955 to 1960. And it was called The Millionaire. Go ahead, Angela. Audio was a little rough on that, but he's making the point that the benefactor on that show that gave away $1 million every week was John Beresford Tipton. Now, if you remember watching how many of you remember that show, The Millionaire? Some of you do. If you remember watching that show, they never showed his face. They showed the man's face that you see up here, but they never showed the benefactor's face. Oh, you would hear his voice. You'd hear him making observations and giving directions to Mr. Anthony. You might see his arm reach forward with a cashier's check in it and handed it to the gentleman that you just saw, Michael Anthony. Michael Anthony, the in this image you just saw, who played the person that would travel around giving that $1 million checks to folks, that was an actor by the name of Marvin Miller. It was his job to deliver that check to its intended recipient. It was a wildly popular TV show. Every year it was in the very top rankings of most watched shows. People really enjoyed it because it told stories of people that were just ordinary folks going through life. Then all of a sudden, they're given $1 million from a benefactor who insists that they must never know his identity. By the way, that $1 million back in 1955, in order to have the same power that it had then, that today, that would be $11 million plus to equal that $1 million back then. So using the foundation and the principles of this TV show, The Millionaire, I'm going to share with you this parable. Long ago and far away lived a man named John Beresford Tipton, whose incredible wealth stretched beyond the farthest imagination of the rest of the world. In fact, Mr. Tipton would bestow a $1 million cashier's check to unsuspecting individuals. He would dispatch his secretary, Mr. Michael Anthony, to deliver by hand this cashier's check with all the taxes having been paid. That's a good deal. All the taxes have been paid. And with it, legal papers that the selected individual had been formally adopted into Mr. Tipton's family and given his name as their new last name. Well, this event radically changed people's lives, suddenly becoming millionaires and receiving the name of Tipton. Well, over the years, thousands of people's lives were changed as they became a Tipton and were granted instant wealth. Well, as the centuries passed, the folks that had become a Tipton thought it would be good to get together in groups with other people around the world that had also become a Tipton, who had received the gift of the $1 million. They could all get together in groups and celebrate Mr. Tipton's birthday. Well, as celebrations grew over the centuries, hymns and songs were written to celebrate and to praise the man who had changed so many people's lives. Then an unusual thing happened in America. A few people overheard that there was a Tipton party going on, a party of genuine Tiftons that had all received the gift. And this party was in progress, and they snuck into the party unnoticed because they wanted to see what it was all about. They really didn't understand what was going on, but they picked up on the idea very quickly that somebody had given all those folks at that party an incredible gift, $1 million, and they were celebrating this generous deed. Well, the party crashers thought it was a great idea. They loved it. They told their friends who told their friends and on. And before you knew it, many non-Tiftons were celebrating Mr. Tipton's birthday too. After all, it occurred in the middle of winter, a very drab time of year, and the celebrations kind of lightened everything during the winter. And believe it or not, the idea spread. It spread, and before long, almost everyone around the world was celebrating Tipton Day. In fact, Tipton Day became a national holiday. And as the years rolled on, it was celebrated by the masses every year. Retailers in department stores, they loved this new holiday. They would advertise Tipton specials. And folks bought their merchandise and they loved it. Then came next, a company decided to make Tipton cards. And later they even had an item in everybody's home called a Tipton tree. Well, as the years went by, many years later, two men who were genuine Tiftons, men that had received the gift of $1 million and had been adopted by Mr. Tipton, these two men from far off lands came to the United States and they landed in New York City. And as they got off the plane, one of the men said, "Wouldn't it be terrific if while we're here in America, while we're here in New York, that we could find one of the other Tiftons who lives here, who's received the gift, whose name is now Tifton? Wouldn't it be great? And maybe we could celebrate our benefactor's birthday tomorrow with them if we could find someone." Well, his friend replied, "Yes, but you know, this is such a huge city. It's a large country. And we're only here a short time. It's very unlikely that we're going to find another Tifton here." Well, you know, in Mr. Tifton's home country, you understand, the celebrations of his birthday continued in purity. Only those that had received the gift, the $1 million, only those that had been adopted in the Tifton family were celebrating the Tifton holiday. But these men coming to America, that's all they had ever known, and they were in for a really big surprise. Well, as they're walking down Fifth Avenue in New York City, they notice a department store, and the sign in front of the department store said, "Only one more day until Tifton." And all of a sudden, their hearts leaped with joy. They thought, "Oh, what good fortune! We found another Tifton right here in New York City." And they noticed on this big building another sign that said, "Tifton Specials, half off." And they thought, "Oh, we're in luck. We have found a genuine Tifton right here on Fifth Avenue." Well, one of the visiting Tiftons, he observed, he said, "You know, this gentleman, he must have used his $1 million very well, because he bought this big department store. But how odd is it that this Tifton decided to call this department store Macy's? These Americans, they're a strange lot." Well, as the two got near the department store, they heard someone cry out from across the street, "Mary Tifton!" And they were surprised to find another Tifton so soon. And suddenly somebody cried back, "Mary Tifton to you too!" And before they knew it, there was a whole chorus of voices shouting, "Mary Tifton and Happy New Year!" Well, as the two men walked and talked together, they began to talk to some of the folks on the street that had said Mary Tifton. And as they talked to them, and the folks realized they were out-of-towners, they invited them to a Tifton Eve party that night. It was a Tifton Eve party at someone's personal home. Well, when the two visitors came to that home, the party was in full swing. I mean, it was a Tifton cocktail party. And there was raucous laughter heard, and you could even barely hear the people talk above all the blaring music being played through the loudspeakers in that home. Smoke filled the crowded rooms, and some of the people there were so staggering drunk, they were almost falling down. The two men, the two Tiftons, they were shocked. Mr. Tifton would have never approved of this kind of conduct at one of his celebrations. Surely it didn't honor his memory. And then the men noticed while they were in the home that on the wall there were Tifton cards. But none of the Tifton cards said anything about Mr. Tifton. In fact, all of them just had a picture of a big fat man in a green suit pulled by some reindeer while he was in a chariot. And they asked themselves, what in the world has that man on that Christmas card got to do with Tifton? Well, frustrated, one of the men from the land of Tifton, he grabbed the attention of somebody else there, and he asked him, and he said, "Excuse me, but please tell me, when did you receive your $1 million from Mr. Tifton?" And the man answered back, and he said, $1 million? Mac, I had to borrow $3,000 just to buy all the presents this year. What are you talking about?" Well, the two men looked at each other, and they said, "Could you please tell us then, why are you celebrating Tifton?" "Sure," the man said. "My name is Benny Bootstraps. I can see you boys are strangers here. Well, I'm no expert on the subject of Tifton, but as I understand it, Mr. Tifton's life is written up in a great big book. And most families have that in their homes, but none of them ever read it much. I'd like to read it more, but than I'm able, I just don't have much time for it. Apparently, the book tells you about the life of Mr. Tifton. You know, he was a very rich man. He made heaps of money. And in this book, he tells you how to make money. It's sort of a how to get rich recipe. We're supposed to read it and apply those principles to our lives, and then we'll get rich too. Well, the two men from Tifton looked at each other in amazement. They could not imagine how such an explanation of Tifton Day had come about. Well, they continued to inquire. They found another man to speak to, and they said, "Excuse us, sir. Tell us, why are you celebrating Tifton?" "Why am I celebrating Tifton? What's the matter with you?" the man said. "Everybody celebrates Tifton. I've celebrated Tifton all my life. My mother celebrated Tifton. Her mother celebrated Tifton. I remember when I was a little boy hanging up my Tifton stockings over the fireplace. I don't understand you. Why do you question our custom? Don't you have Tifton Day from where you come from?" Well, the two genuine Tifton men were perplexed. And they noticed a very well-dressed man. He looked like he had a lot of money. And they thought, maybe he's a genuine Tifton. Let's go talk to him. They went up to him and they said, "Excuse me, Mr. Tifton. My friend and I are also Tiftons, and we'd like a better explanation of your celebration." "Tifton," the man said, "my name isn't Tifton. It's mythology." The man continued, "I celebrate Tifton because once there was this fella named Tifton who lived far away long ago. Some people say he really didn't live at all. In fact, with our scientific knowledge and our sophisticated understanding of things, we now know that he really didn't live at all. Tifton, though, this man Tifton, he had a habit of giving presents to people. He gave people ties and handkerchiefs and cologne and stuff like that. It's all a fable. It's all made up, but it's a nice ideal. So we give gifts ourselves. Basically, that's the ideal. That's what we're doing." Thoroughly bewildered, the two genuine Tifton men heard a knocking at the door. But the music was so loud and the laughter was so loud, no one answered. And they continued to knock. And finally, the door opened. And when it opened, in walked the perennial descendant of Mr. Michael Anthony, Mr. Tifton's secretary. The two visiting Tiftons, they recognized him immediately. And they looked at each other with great joy. And they thought, at last, at this party, someone is going to receive the gift. The $1 million and the Tifton name. At least one person would come to know what Tifton Day was truly all about. Mr. Anthony, as he walks in, he looks around and he says, "Excuse me, please." But no one paid any attention to him at all. The music was so loud, he could hardly be heard. He tried to talk over the laughter and the loud music, and he said, I beg your pardon, but I have here with me," and no one listened. Finally, he tapped one man on the shoulder, and he said, "Sir, pardon me, but I represent..." And the fellow immediately interrupted Mr. Anthony. He says, "Hey, Mac, this is Tifton Eve. We don't do business on Tifton Eve. Leave me your card and come see me Monday morning. Here, have a drink and celebrate. Merry Tifton to you." Dumbfounded by the rejection and dumbfounded by the disregard that Mr. Anthony received, he simply turned around and left as unnoticed as when he entered. No one received the gift that night. The Tifton celebration, it just went on and on, folks drinking and laughing, completely undisturbed by the attempt of the gift to be given to them that night. Now, what's the meaning of this parable that I've just shared with you this morning? Most of you realize that this is a modern-day parable of our Christmas, isn't it? How many of you will get weary trying to find just the right gift for some member of your family? How many of you may have already gotten writer's cramps filling out over 100 Christmas cards? How many of you will finish ripping off the wrappings and opening of boxes. And in doing so, you'll find nothing to fill your empty hearts because you've never received the gift. Are there some here hearing my voice this morning that don't even know what the gift is? Hear the words of our text. Thanks be to God for His indescribable, some verses will say unspeakable, gift. What is the gift? The gift is eternal life. The gift is salvation. The gift is God's Son, Jesus. That's why Jesus came. He came that you and I might have life, that we might have it more abundantly, that we might have it eternally without end. That was the gift, that is the gift that God has for us. You and I become heirs of God when we know Christ as Lord and Savior. And how wonderful is it that as heirs of God, we shall inherit all things because of the gift that God gives us. We receive His name. We're adopted into His family. We're called Christians. That's why we love to sing that song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." We're in the Millionaires Club, aren't we? It's our Millionaires Club. It's the club that worships and gives honor and glory to our Savior who brought us the gift of life. Are you in that club? Are you a part of that club? You can become an heir of God. You can receive the gift because Jesus Christ is bequeathing the gift. It's the gift of all gifts. It's the gift of everlasting life to all who would put their trust in Him. All you've got to do is admit that you stand guilty before a holy God, that you want to become a member of His family, and that you can never do that on your own. That you place your trust in Him, the work that Christ did for you on the cross, that many might live forever and forever. I want to tell you, God is knocking on hearts' doors. He's always knocking on hearts' doors. If He's knocking on the door of your heart, don't ignore that knock. Because if you do, if you ignore that knock of God on your heart's door, you'll have to just settle for the husks, so to speak, of Christmas. You'll have to just settle for the ribbons and the bows and the wrappings, while the water of life, eternal life, will just pass you by. And if that happens, then all you're going to have are the handkerchiefs and the ties and the cologne and the pajamas and the perfume. And the only thing that anybody could say to you would be, "Merry Tifton." Let us pray. Father, I thank You for the power of stories that can reveal things in our lives that we don't pause to see or understand. Father, I thank You that through this parable, You show us what began as an incredible day of holy worship and thanksgiving for the gift of Your Son that has morphed into something so totally and far apart from what Your intent was for us that know Jesus, that's received the gift of eternal life, that we gather for one purpose only, to rejoice, to give thanks, and to remember the gift that You sent in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, help us lay aside all the stuff that takes our mind and our energy, all the things that we get caught up in, and to focus on Your incredible gift to us. May we receive it. May it change us. May it give us hope and life like we could ever imagine. And if anyone's listening this morning to this sermon that's not received the gift, this is your opportunity. Don't turn Christ away. Don't say no. Open your heart to Him. Confess your sins. Invite Him to be your Savior, to forgive you, to come into your heart and live with you. You'll have that gift, the gift of eternal life, the greatest gift that man could ever receive. By faith, you can do that right now, today. Won't you? Won't you reach up to the Savior? Won't you say yes to Him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful gift. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.